just bow our heads as we open the service. Precious Lord, oh, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've called me to come together. I can feel and hear that call in my heart. Lord, and each and every one, Lord, as they felt you call and responded, Lord, we've come, Lord, gather underneath thy spirit. Lord, anxiously waiting for you to speak to us. Lord, show us in your word, Lord, somewhere we can draw closer to you, Lord. Something you can reveal yourself to us greater. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would just bless each and every one. Father, just have your way. Lord, that when we are finished with the service, we truly will be able to say it's been good to be here. Thank you. Have your way now. We just ask all this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. Amen. Page 308. Amen. Remind me, dear Lord. Never wanted to forget what he's done for us. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where.
Amazing.
Heavenly Father, oh, I appreciate you. Sing it with me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Amen. How many have something on your heart you'd like to make known? Amen. We've got a request from Sister pains. Keep her in your prayers. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, as we sing these songs, Father, and we, Lord, know that you're always with us. Father, you've even promised where two or three are gathered, you'll be with us. Walk amongst us. Lord, as we walk this life, having you in us, Lord, it's such a comfort. Lord, it don't matter what we come up against, what trials or tests. Father, your Spirit's there to guide us through. Remind us of your word. Oh, Lord, it's so wonderful.
Yes.
And Father, even if it comes to sickness or needs, Father, your word is already covered. And you've met the needs. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you tonight. Yes. Thank you for meeting our needs. For healing our bodies. Lord, and even the sister, Father, her back pain. Lord, we know that you've already paid for the price. And Lord, we just want to give you the glory and the honor. Lord, just bless us now. Bless the service. Bless your word as it comes. Lord, feed us again. Lord, that we may know how to please you. We thank you now. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name. The Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Would somebody have a special tonight? Hallelujah. You got anything, Karen? All right. I guess let's stand then. We'll sing a little chorus. Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Only believe. Oh. Oh.
our heads. Amen. Precious Lord, we once more have gathered in around your precious word. And Lord, we're just so thankful for each time you give us together. And Lord, as we humbly come around your word each time, we're just asking that you would take the words that will be read and spoke this evening. And Lord, just place it into our hearts. Lord, maybe we've heard these things and maybe we're well versed in them, but Lord, may something just mean a little more to us, Father. And Father, you know each one of us, Lord, as we're growing, Lord, the vitamins and the nutrients we need. And Lord, we just humbly look to you to give us the things that we have need of. And Father, we ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and upon our hearts to the receiving. And we'll never fail, Lord, to see that you receive the glory for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's so precious. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Joshua. Just a little subject this evening. It may seem a little different, but as I was just waiting and praying, what was I going to speak on? A couple of these things came to me tonight, and it just seemed like they was following in order, and I thought, well, let's just read them and take a little thought, and maybe it'll strike someone a little special, and it'll help someone along the way. Amen. You know, it's, as I said, it's we take the same vitamins every day, you know, the same one. We just take it over, and we take it over, and we take it over, and we never complain. Amen. So if we read the same scripture over and over and over every day, we shouldn't complain, because that's the vitamins we need. It will bring what's needed in our lives. Amen. Amen. Here in Joshua, the first chapter, just to pick up and to catch the essence of what was being said, we realize Moses, God had sent Moses to Egypt to bring out the children of Israel from bondage, and how he sent a prophet down there with a message and brought the people out with a mighty hand, and all the works that were done by God through Moses, and to express himself, God expressing himself to the people that he was leading. And then here we pick up now, and now Moses has passed off the scene, and the Lord is speaking to Joshua. And now he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And having seen what God had done and working through Moses, what an assurance this must have been to Joshua at his stage in life as he was coming into the leadership here and seeing where he was being placed. But hearing God tell him, as I was with Moses, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. But he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance to the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. As we, maybe just for a small thought this evening, is just a little bit about obeying God and the obedience to his word. And we spoke on things like this before, but it just seemed like it was fresh a little bit. And I was coming, thinking about these things. And, you know, God is always, from the very beginning, he give man his word to live by. And that alone was what's made the difference. Whether they obeyed or whether they disobeyed, This Bible has been written by many, many examples to show us what has happened on both sides of that aisle. Yeah. As the prophet of this day said many times, this is a book of curses and a book of blessings. And whether you are obeying it and living it to its fullness and following God, it's one way or the other, you're going to fall on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. And as we think about that, how serious is we begin to realize that this is a book of leadership, a book of guidance, it's a manual for life and to live and to see things made real to us, how we should cherish it more and more, but also give due diligence, as the Lord spoke to Joshua here, to meditate therein day and night, to study it, to make sure you're doing all that you can to observe, to keep all of the things that are written within. Yes, and how that's on the heart of the believer, as we feel the calling on our lives and we feel the Lord drawing us and moving us to this place in Him. And how that it should just be more and more each day as it goes by. Yeah. But for a few examples, just to start, let's go back to Genesis and just catch a couple things here. And to have fresh in our hearts. But we'll start in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Just to see this, that God demands obedience to His Word. That's kind of just to set a little foundation of how it is placed here. And this is where God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and He put them there to take care of it and to maintain it. And He told them, the only thing He told them was to not, there was a tree in the midst of the garden, and He gave forth His word, do not partake of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And so we'll pick up here in the third verse, kind of maybe not covering a lot of ground, but just to catch the essence of what happened. We know the word went forth. God told them, don't partake of that tree. And here in the first verse, it begins, he says, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God put forth His word, and He meant for it to be obeyed. Yeah. And what He had said, He meant. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that in your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. Why was they hiding? They knew they had disobeyed in their heart. They knew that they weren't following it, and it brought condemnation to them. And how... that you could go on with the story, but I want you to notice God gives His word and it's to be obeyed. And they didn't, and God had to make a provision to cover the sins. And that's why today we're thankful that we understand that that provision was made. And though we're trapped here in this body, by God's grace, the precious blood of Jesus Christ is covering those that have realized that they too were in the same condition Adam and Eve was in, and they needed a Savior. Amen. But here, let's drop over to the 4th chapter now, in the 4th verse. We'll just start at the first verse, just to catch another example here. But I want you to watch this one. Is going to make a little point here in a moment. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So here these two grew up, and they both come to age. And one of them, God revealed to him what was pleasing to him. He showed him what His word meant and how it came to place, and keeping it very simple. But God showed him what He meant, and it was revealed to Abel what God was looking for. Yeah. And so in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground of an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flocks and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, because it was what God was looking for. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Cain didn't see the results that Abel did. He didn't understand what Abel understood, but he saw this take place and God accepted him. What Abel has done is justified. It's right in my eyes. Yeah. And so, but Cain to his offering, he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, thou shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he had an opportunity. The word was laying there. He saw what Abel done. He saw that God accepted it. And he could see the results of it. And God gave him an opportunity to be a partaker of the same thing. Yes. Obedience to God's word would have brought favor with God. But in this situation, we know what happened. Cain couldn't do that. And he went on and he slew his brother and just kept on moving off into the darkness that surrounded him. Because he failed to obey the opportunity that was given to him of God. And we're coming, you know, we're in a time and a place where many people read the Bible. And they may see it and they may start to think that, oh, this is wonderful and I see that. And maybe they're looking around and they're seeing someone else that God is truly blessing. And they see the results of this Bible in their life. And maybe they want the same thing and it's laying there for them. But it takes full obedience to the Word of God to bring that peace and that quality into your life that was in Abel's circumstance. And kind of going very light here, just trying to catch it. But let's go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter now here, and look at someone that was full obedience to God and understanding the greatest test. Because we're going to go to Genesis 22 and speak a little bit about Abraham here for just a moment to kind of tie this in. But realizing before we ever got to this chapter, if you go back and read some in Genesis, you'll see God told Abraham he had to separate himself from all of his kinfolk. He separated him from everything. And the prophet of this age is, it's like us having to separate ourselves from the things of the world. We're separating the things from the things we once loved, the things we were once part of. God's word begins to come into our hearts and we begin to receive and we begin to hear the Lord speaking to us. Come out from among that. That's not for you. Come over here and look what I have for you. And so Abraham, in obedience, had already left all of this and came out and started journeying with the Lord. And the Lord promised him a son. And 25 years went by before that son ever came into existence. But at this point in time, God had given him the son. And here in the 22nd chapter, in the first verse, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And we may hear this and we may have read it and maybe have known it from our youth and maybe we just think it's a story. But this is a true example of when you think you've come far enough, when you think you've done enough, God says, come a little bit higher and let me show you some more. Yes, and so don't ever feel like, well, Lord, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. Now you want me to do, just come a little higher, son. There's more for you. Amen. And that's what God was fixing to do for Abraham here in this circumstance. Amen. He said, take now thy son, Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. And so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar. I want you to think about, they knew how to make a sacrifice. They had precise instructions of how this was to take place. And so Abraham is following everything to the letter, just as if he was going to lay that bleeding lamb on there. He followed what the instructions God had given him. And he came to the place, and God told him, built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And then we know God provided a lamb for the sacrifice to take place. But at the end, it was full obedience. Abraham was convinced that what God had said, he meant it. And he had saw the blessings in his life at this up to this point. And it didn't matter. He knew he was going to obey whatever God said. He was going to follow through with what God's word said. And there was no backing up in him. Even though that was his only son, and it meant the world to him, it meant everything to him at that point in time. But he loved Jesus Christ most of all, and God wanted to see it proved out in his life. And so the story was now recorded. Abraham's gone. His day is finished. But the testimony of his life is still living on today for you and I as an example and a time-tested memorial of Jesus Christ, that there are people predestinated to meet the challenge of an hour and to fulfill every word and to believe every word that God has spoke. The prophet of this age in the message, Jehovah Jireh, number 3, he made this quotation speaking about Abraham. He said, now, Abraham, one thing I want you to notice, he obeyed God's word to the letter. Always remember that. That's my message. You must obey the word. And knowing anything contrary to it, leave it alone. It may look good, but don't reason against God's word. That's the first thing Satan did, was reason against God's word to Eve. She never doubted it. She just reasoned, and Satan reasoned it. And by it, they failed to believe, to fully believe what God had told them. And how we, as we come to this place in time, as we're looking at God's word, it don't matter whether we've just started walking with the Lord or whether we've been walking with him 40 years. Have we come to that place of full obedience, to where we want every word he's spoken to be manifested and made real in our lives, to the point that we don't let anything distract us and we're not held back in any way? Just to put this in there with the piece about Abraham, this was in the patriarch Abraham and obedience. I want you to notice as the prophet was speaking here, he says, now Abraham was just an ordinary man, wasn't something special. God never called him, as far as we have any record, until he was 75 years old. And his wife, which was his half-sister, being 65 years old at the time, they'd probably lived together since they were very young, and she was barren, had no children, and God called for a complete separation, to separate himself from the rest of the world and from all of his people and from all of his kindred. There was a special thing for him to do. And when God expects you to do a special thing, he demands a complete separation from any doubt. You've got to come to full obedience to obey what he says. God demands it. You can't do it no other way. And now he always sets an example, and that was his example of a complete separation from all of his family, all of his kindreds, and so forth, to walk a life separated to God. And you know, when God calls a man, he had already predestinated that man for the call that he was going to place in him. Already inside of Abraham was the equipment needed to bring him and to hold him and to get him to that place to where he would believe God with all that was in him. And oh my, what a challenge that ought to place in our hearts, that as we feel the Holy Spirit calling on us, if we feel that drawing, if we feel that calling, no man can come to me unless the Father draws me, Jesus said. And if we're feeling that draw and if we feel that call in our heart, how it ought to spark a little something in us. Lord, I want to obey you in everything. Amen. You know, so many times as we go through life, people, they get to a point where they want to have, they see maybe the Christian walk and They see maybe it looks like you got joy and you got happiness, you got this peace, and oh, it's wonderful. But there's steps to get to that place. Yes. And oftentimes, many people try to bypass those steps and just get up here. And oftentimes, that's why they find themselves disappointed. And it's oftentimes why when they get into those tests and hard trials and things, their life just doesn't hold. It's because they bypass some of the steps and some of the directions and the inspiration that we've been given by the Holy Spirit to bring us to this walk in Christ. He says, let me see here. So when you think about that, we're going to turn over to, if you want to get your Bibles, we're going to go to John, the 14th chapter. Amen. Just to make a little illustration. Amen. Praying like John, the 14th chapter. Amen. And so, just, you know, I'm going to use Brother Stephen here. He painted cars for a long time and was quite a, you know, his work spoke for itself. And, you know, people could see that. They saw the results of that. That, you know, his car, you paint a car, do body work, it comes out, it looks just like it did before it went in there all banged up. And so when you have a situation like that, as Jesus was going to result here to his works, so just kind of run a natural and a spiritual comparison. But what if I was to go to Brother Steve and say, I want to learn to paint a car. I want to be able to do what you do. And I want it to be just like you. And so, you know, we might spend a lot of time talking about paints and bondos and whatever else goes into it. I don't even really know enough to even talk very effectively about it. But what if I would sit and we'd spend hours just talking about this is how it is and this is how it goes together and you got to go this step and then you have to do this step and you've got to go this step and the instructions are being laid down very plainly for me and very good guidance of how to get to where I'm going. And as this is being laid out to me, I can sit there and agree and say, absolutely, you're right, I see it, I know exactly what you're talking about, I'm going to do it just that way. But then we go out into the shop and get the car ready, and then I decide that first step or the second step is just too much work. I think I'll just skip that. He went in the house to do something else. He don't know, I'll just not do that step and just move on to here. And when that happens, the project's truly going to fail. And then it's going to show out in my work that you didn't, it just showed up. It just didn't manifest. And then you're going to know, I didn't follow the directions. And my piece now looks terrible in the sight of everybody. And he's going to have to come back and say, you didn't listen to me. You didn't follow the instructions I gave you. It didn't work out quite like that. And so as you think about it in that manner, now Jesus speaking here in John 14, and let's just pick up here where, just to kind of catch what Jesus is saying, about the 8th verse. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now they were seeing the life that Jesus was living. They were seeing the results. They were seeing the manifestation that was taking place. And Jesus was in obedience to his Father. He was in obedience to the Word, his life. He had told him, my meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me. Everything about him was focused to that precious Word. And now, so at this point they come, but he says, it's he that doeth the works. And he says, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe the very work's sake. The manifestation was taking place. It was expressing out to the people that Jesus was saying, you don't have to believe what my words are saying. Look at the life that's coming forth. You'll see the manifestation that I believe and I'm doing the will of my Father. And it was being expressed to the entire people. They were seeing it. The same as Abraham. He believed God in everything he done. It was showing forth to the nation and the people that he believed God and to no end. There was nothing going to separate him. And so it shows up when we say we believe God and we follow him into all truths. It's showing forth. When we follow the steps, and we stay right there, and we, Lord, show me, teach me, guide me, and then our lives will begin to show, it'll begin to manifest that I truly believe, and I'm following and obeying the steps that have been given to me. It'll start to show. It'll start to change. The little things will start to begin to grow, whether you're down here or whether you're way up here. As you continue to follow the Lord and your desire is to obey and to move into all truths, it'll begin to show up. And had, working in the natural, had I followed the instructions completely, it would have showed up. It would have been showing. The progression would have been there and the project would have came out exactly right. And so just as in the natural, if you fail to follow instructions, it'll stand out. And if we don't follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Word, we'll fall behind and it'll show up so terribly in our lives. And the prophet in the message, he put it, this was in the message, the token. It's very familiar, but just listen to how he says it and just think, well, sometimes we just quote it. But as he was putting it here, he said, now look, the word assures us of the promise. And all of these texts I've set down here, just keep preaching on all day. Look, like, see, the word assures us of the promise because it is the promise. Think of all the promises that are here to you and to I. It's laying here. And he says, the word assures us of the promise because it is the promise. And the word is the promise and the word is the word of God and the word is ours. And we become the word and the word becomes us if ye abide in me and my word in you. Then see, it just becomes one great big family. And it assures us because why? Well, it's part of us, see? It becomes part of us. What a text, all right? It assures us the promise. And the token is the sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted, and you can't get that token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is to pay it. Amen. That may sound simple, but just there's no easy way. God has a purpose and a plan, and you can't bypass any of His Word. Yes. And so many today, whether, you know, maybe you're just starting a walk with Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been in church for 30 or 40 years, it don't matter. You've got to come through God's channel, yes, and you can't bypass any steps. Yes. It must come through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, to bring us into that place of being in a full, complete surrender of Jesus Christ and His Word made real in our lives. He says, that's right, believe it, accept it. Full obedience to the whole Word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience. Not the part of it as far as your denomination goes, or your church goes, or you and yourself think is far enough. No, it's got to go as far as the Word, but all of it. Full obedience to the Word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. Now, what if you was just all in but your feet hanging out? What if you was all in with your hands out? Most all of us in but the heart hanging out. See, the heart's in the world yet, but we don't want to do that. Full, complete obedience puts you in the Word one. You believe it, every bit of it. All of it's in you, and you watch it working through you. Amen. And as we have been given examples, and that's, if I can stress it in that manner, Jesus came, you know, we had all of the prophets in the Old Testament. We saw God work in their lives. We saw the Word go forth, and we are recipients today to be able to sit and read that. As those men were going through those circumstances, they didn't know for sure what the end result was going to be at that time. They were following in obedience to God's precious Word. Now we can look back and see, oh, God kept His Word. God kept His Word. God fed it. Whether they obeyed or whether they disobeyed, we see the results of what happened. And then Jesus came in His being the fullness and being manifesting in the flesh, and we saw the life that went forth from Him, and everyone saw it, and how many they flocked around Him. And as I believe it's in, as He continues on with, I think that was in John the 10th chapter, I believe. John 10, if you want to turn, you can. If not, I'll just read it. But as the Jews, amen. Yeah, John, it was about the 31st verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him, and Jesus answered and said to them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And if ye called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He had a manifestation to prove that as he was obeying the word, it was living forth and shining forth. And he didn't have to just lean on the crutch of, oh, I told you, believe the works that's manifesting. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. Look and see for yourself. And that's the way it is as you begin to obey the word of the Lord. And if you're truly obeying, the works is there to manifest and show forth that you're in obedience to God's word. Amen. In everything. You know, the prophet used many times, he said, tell me you believe all the word and fail to let your hair grow out. Amen. Tell me you believe all the word and you won't obey your husband. Tell me you believe all the word and you won't love your wife. Tell me you believe all the word and you won't keep the laws of the land. You won't give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Look at the types that he gave us, and we can type that into everything. Full obedience. Yeah. It's got to be a full surrender to the word. Amen. And as we're traveling up our journey, maybe some are just coming to the knowledge of the truth, and it's an obedience. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to do. Think of King Naaman when he came and asked for Elisha, and God sent down the word to him, go wash in the river. He gave him clear-cut instructions to obey, and you'll receive the promise that you're looking for. Amen. But you've got to go through the steps I'm giving you. Because why? At that point in time, we know the story. But look at the humility. He had to humble himself down and walk down there and admit that he needed what had old muddy water to make him whole. Amen. God knows how each of us need to go through to bring the character out in us that will live and to manifest for him. Amen. That he can get the glory out of your life and my life. But it takes a surrender. Just as Abraham had to surrender himself and leave everything to follow God's word, we're not exempt. We must surrender everything about us. Amen. And give it all up. And let's follow Jesus Christ. And truly with our lives surrendered to him, and if we were obeying from the heart, the actions will manifest from this body and bring us under. You'll see the subjection to God's word manifesting. And it'll produce a life. Oh my, that your mouth won't have to run. You won't have to try to tell nobody. They'll see the results of it manifesting through you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just a few more here. In the message, this was in the church age, Pergamos church age. Chapter 5, I just like the Brother Branham is how he put this here. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now see, the proof of the indwelling spirit was to acknowledge and to follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation, verse 36, what, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, or just, he got word in parentheses, but to receive the truth in the word, and believe it, and obey it. Have you noticed in Revelation 22:17, the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. See, the bride speaks the same word as does the spirit. Yeah. And oh my, today look how many are not even saying what the spirit has said to the church through a prophet of this age, God speaking. You know, oftentimes we quote things and we say, well, Brother Branham said in this message, but do we, when we're reading in the scriptures, we don't always clarify Paul said, because God was speaking through Paul. And that's become a common understanding that God was speaking through these men as this Bible was written. And it was God speaking through a prophet, a man, a normal man in this day, yes, expressing himself to a people and saying, I'm telling you, here's the word, my word for today, yes, as he was using a man's lips. He said, in every church age we hear these words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word, and if you have the Spirit, you will hear the word for your age, yes, as those true Christians took the word for their age. Amen. There's just so many things. If you look at the types, If he used the eagle and the egg, he was an eagle to begin with. The word was catching him, and it was quickening. Even though he was in the barnyard, he was still down there looking around. But there was something about that sound that was taking place that was drawing, and it was pulling. And maybe he got to the top of the fence, and that might have been, wow, this is way better than down there. But it wasn't where he was being called to yet. And oh my, we might have come so far. We might have made it here, but there's still a higher height in Christ for each of us. And it takes a full surrenderance and a full obedience to the full word of Jesus Christ to soar out into those heavenlies. Amen. And each one of us ought to have that cry in our hearts, Lord, give me the grace and the understanding and the revelation to follow you and to follow the word in the way that you've given it to us. He says, the word for their age. Did you get that last thought? I repeat, every church age ends with the same admonishment. He that hath an ear, let him, an individual, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit gives the word, and he hath the truth for each age. Each age has its own elect, and that elect group always heard the word and received it, proving that they had seed in them. John 8:47. And he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore that hear them not, because ye are not of God. They refuse the word, Jesus, and his words for their day. But the true seed received the word because they were of God. And all thy children shall be taught of God, of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Isaiah 54:13, Jesus said the same thing in John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you're of God and spirit filled and no other criteria. One with the word, full obedience, following that word. And oh my, how true it is. You watch as the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a man or a woman's heart, and they begin to start that journey of realizing, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Yes. And oh my, the Spirit moves upon them, and you watch the changes that begins to take place in their life as they keep walking and they keep obeying. And as they hear that word and it sinks into their heart and the Holy Spirit gives the understanding, you can continue to see the growth and the development in them. The same as you watch the growth and the development in the natural as a calf or a wild animal is growing from a baby stage into an adult. As the nutrients come and as it continues to feed, it grows and it continues to manifest and to mature out. And goes through all the different stages of life that it's going to go through to come into that place of maturity. But it's always growing and it's always evident of what it is and where it's going to be. Amen. It shines forth once God begins the work in its life. And how we should be watching and ever mindful. And you say, well, Brother Tim, I've been obeying the word for a long time. But are we truly applying all the word in full obedience, a full surrender? Just a good question to ask ourselves. As we look at God's precious word, Lord, I know you said this, but am I really taking these things to heart? There's a lots of words, lots of things to think about and to measure ourselves up with as we pray and meditate. As he told Joshua, meditate day and night to make sure and observe that you're keeping all these things. And we've been blessed that he has write these things on our hearts. And he brings all things back to our remembrance. And as we study the word and how the Holy Spirit can say, you remember the prophet said this, and it'll flow right in with the scripture. Oh, I see it greater. And oh, watch it conform us. As we partake of the nutrients, we continue to grow. But when we quit taking nutrients, we quit growing and we start to see a stalemate. We start to see the ribs showing a little bit and maybe the stomach starting to be a little sunk in. It's evident that we're not getting what we need. And that's what we're seeing all over this land. You're seeing starving Christians that are not being fed. They're being told they're here. They've got this and they're giving them all kinds of supplements, but they're not getting to the fullness. They're not getting the meat of the word that they need to cause them to fill out and to grow and to be a representation of God's precious word in this day. Oh, it's a great famine in the land, saints. And oh my, may we be a people to realize that God gave his word. And it's laying there for the individual that can truly open up their eyes and realize it don't matter what anyone else has to say. God has already sent his word. Yes. Just as to Joshua, he said, he had already given them, you do as Moses has commanded and as he did, and I'll be with you. God sent a prophet today, and he's given us the directions. You listen, you sisters can come to the instruments. This was Brother Branham's prayer in the Message to the Thirst. And this was preached September 19th, 1965. And listen to some of the things he's saying here as he's praying. He says, "Dear God, think of the disappointments there at judgment when people has lived a good, clean, holy life and went to church just as loyal as they could be and lost. Think of those Pharisees, how from little boys they trained in the Word, come up through schools and everything, holy had to be, or they'd be stoned to death. And Jesus said, 'You are of your father the devil.' How that Israel went down there, and let this be a warning to the Pentecostals. Oh, may it be a warning to us tonight. Lord, across the land, how that Moses, a prophet, came down into Egypt to fulfill the word of God, to bring the evening light to them. And how they seen the great miracles of God, and they followed him across the Red Sea, and was baptized unto him, went into the wilderness, and ate angels' food that fell from heaven, and then refused to take all the word. And when they come back from Kadesh Barnea, from the promised land, they said, 'They're like giants, we can't do it.' When God said, 'I've already give you the land.' Borderline, Jesus said, 'They are everyone perished, they are dead, lost without God. Though they done all these things, they seen the miracles, enjoyed and danced up and down the seacoast with Miriam when they beat the tambourine, and only 3 out of 2 million went in. We realize, Father, that when the sperm and the genes from the male and the female come together, there is only one out of a million that's accepted. One germ from the male finds the fertile egg of the woman, the female, and 1 million others perish. There is 1 million. 2 million came out of Egypt, and 2, Joshua and Caleb, entered the land. 1 out of 1 million. Father, I tremble when I think of that. Think across the world today. 500 million Christians, that would be 500 if you should come tonight. Oh God, let us remember that every word of God stands a memorial, and we must believe it, and we must obey it. Yes. And when you said, 'Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off. Yes. Even as many the Lord our God shall call.' And God, you are still calling tonight, and the promise is as long as you call. And clergymen has twisted the minds of those people and directed it by an educational, denominational school of theology to a thing to say, 'Oh, just believe.' The devil believes also, but he can't receive the Holy Spirit. Judas Iscariot was done all that the rest of the disciples did, preached the gospel. But when it come time to get the Holy Ghost, he showed his collars. But God, may the people of the land tonight realize that without that experience, they are lost. May it be tonight that their souls will be satisfied with thy portion, Lord, as we commend them into thy hand. They are yours, Lord. We're only responsible for the word, and I pray that they will believe with all their heart and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We ask in Jesus' name." And oh my, maybe there's people here, maybe there's people listening in there that would long to have that walk with Jesus Christ. But it takes a full surrender to the word of Jesus Christ. You've got to come his provided way. And sometimes it can be so rough. It may humble us down to a point of, I don't want to go that route. I don't want to do it that way. It don't matter. You've got to come God's provided way. And God's word's laying before us. And you hear it every time as the word comes forth, God is laying down his provided channels. And oh my, may we be quick to hear and quick to run for that opportunity to, Lord, take me up just a little bit higher. Lord, let me make sure that I'm not holding back and trying to hold on to something that would keep me from totally surrendering my life and letting you have full sway. Yes, it means maybe being humble in ourselves down. Maybe it means breaking myself down and realizing and truly admitting, Lord, I haven't surrendered myself to you like I should have. I've wanted to keep 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in church. Maybe I haven't given you my all, Lord, but you're requiring it. And I feel that draw in my heart pulling me and drawing me to this place. Lord, it has to be a full surrender. I've got to give it all up. And it's not my reasoning, it's not my thinking, but if the Holy Spirit knocks on my door and says, you can't have that, you can't do this, listening to the call of the Holy Spirit and saying, yes, Lord, I surrender. Amen. Oh my, what if Abraham in his situation would have said, I can't give you my only son, Lord. We can't hold it. He didn't reason, he didn't question. He said, yes, Lord. Let me, and he followed in obedience. And when God saw that he was sincere in all of his heart and he loved him most of all, he stayed his hand. He said, now I know. Oh my, may we be a people that God is truly seeing in us a true surrender and a full desire to serve him and to follow him into all truths and to let him have the full surrenders and preeminence of our lives. Amen. Amen. Oh, I pray you can take something from God's word. Amen. I feel sometimes like I don't get it delivered like I feel it, but you know God knows all about it. And it comes out just fine. Amen. Amen. But I pray, Lord, let us find this place, a greater place. It's got to be obedience to God's word. Yes. You know, there was a day when back in Pentecost, you know, it was preach hellfire and just come down on the people and try to get people to run to an altar. And the emotions were high. And people would run to the altar. But it was an act of an emotion. But today it's the sincerity and the reality that God is calling you. It can happen here. It can happen at home. It can happen wherever you're listening to God's precious word. At the right time, he can reach down. If you'll follow him in full obedience to his word, he'll give you and make those promises real to you and real to me. But oh, we've got to come his provided way, whatever that may be for our place and time. For some, it may not be the same. Not everybody had to go wash in Jordan to get healed. Elijah laid his stick on one, the lady's body on another, I believe. And if you look at the different times and places, the way God moved, but each time God got the glory and the honor from that situation. Yes. And it is today. He wants your life, my life, for his glory. Oh my, may we be full surrender to him. Yes. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody got a course on your heart? Anything at all? Amen. Brother Josh? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Oh, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real. I love him so. He is so real to me. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. That was really good, wasn't it? Oh my, it was really good. Brought a lot of beautiful things out there, you know. And I don't mean to be adding to this message, but I just thought it'd be a good time to expound upon it a little further. And he was reading here in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Just something I want you to think about, because I was just listening to a message today and Brother Branham was talking about children. And he mentioned a scripture about honoring thy father and thy mother, that thy days would be long upon the earth. It's a promise God gives. And he said, how can you honor? He said, what was the best way you could honor your father and mother? He said, obey them. You know, Brother Timothy's bringing out obedience to the word of God and so forth tonight. But he said, obey them. That's simple. And then I was thinking, as Brother Timothy's bringing these things out, I was thinking about this Genesis 22nd chapter, where in the 5th verse, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and Laden, I will be yonder worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. Okay. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. Okay, so we realize Isaac was at an age he could talk. I don't know exactly what the age was there that Isaac was, but he could talk. But I want you to show just point out was something. That back then, how obedient Isaac was to his daddy. And I got to thinking about this, because I was thinking about this earlier. And, you know, but because so many times children today have such a hard time obeying their parents. And especially when they get a little older, because it rises up against their feelings and what they begin to think, what they want to do in life. And then when dad or mother tries to give them advice and tell them what they should do and shouldn't do, sometimes they raise up a little bit on the inside, because it's fighting against their age are becoming, and they think, oh, I can make my decisions. I can do this, you know, all right? But this obedience that Isaac had, watch it. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. Now, he was old enough to, you know, think this out, what was happening, okay, because he knew they was going up to offer a sacrifice, okay? And he said, behold the fire and the wood, Isaac says, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So he was an age, again, I just want to mention it, he was an age, he was able to think this through, okay? But yet, watch how obedient he was. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the old, and laid it in order and bound Isaac his son. Put yourself in his shoes. Yeah, look how obedient. There's no recording at all in the scripture where Isaac fought back. Okay. That's really obedient. But I got to thinking about this, and just something spoke to my heart, because when I read this before, and of course, as I said before, when I read the scripture, I open my heart and say, Lord, what is this? Show me this. What's this? What happened here, really, in reality? And just something the Lord spoke to my heart about was Isaac seeing the obedient life of his father to God. Isaac seeing a life in his daddy that was above the normal. He seen his daddy was a God-fearing man, and he trusted his daddy. How many times as daddies today do we live that our children can see that we're really God-fearing men, God-respecting men, men that will serve God with all their heart, regardless of the price? Does our children see that in our life? And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There's no recording of Isaac fighting back. I believe if there would have been a fighting back, there'd have been recorded. But it has nothing about Isaac fighting back. Isaac let his daddy bind his hands and laid him upon the altar, put the wood upon the altar, and yet Isaac could see that fire going. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thy anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. That's a tremendous thing happened. For the daddy and the son. Yeah. Look at the respect that young man had for his daddy. It's hard to find anymore, that kind of respect for their daddy. Yeah. Is Daddy living the right kind of a life that they see? That he's a God-fearing man, a God-loving man, that they could really trust him. I mean, Isaac had put a lot of trust in his daddy because he remembered his daddy when he was just getting ready to leave and told the other young men, said, "I and the lad shall return." Oh, what must have been going through Isaac's mind, you know? But yet, he trusted his daddy. He respected his daddy. He honored his daddy. Yeah. And God made a way. But Isaac was obedient. That is what Brother Timothy was bringing out. He was obedient. And God brought forth the sacrifice needed. Brought forth what it would take. The offering that was to be presented back to God. Oh my. And Brother Branham said, the greatest way that you can honor thy father and thy mother is to obey them. Yes. Even little fellers, you ought to listen to me. You ought to obey them. That your days should be long upon the earth, that the Lord God should tarry. Amen. But you see a lot of disobedience anymore. Yeah. A lot of disrespect. Yeah. But oh, may we always take God's way, right? God's provided way. Amen. So I just thought, well, it'd be a good time to just kind of bring it out a little bit. Everybody tend to bring out obedience and the wonderful things that he brought forth. So I thought we'd just put a little of that there while I was in that area. Amen. It gives you something to think about, doesn't it? You young people, your children. Yeah. You know, one of these days, old Brother DeLong is going to pass off the scene. The Lord should tarry. But I hope you keep that in your heart. And I hope you think about it. And remember that the next time Mother or Dad tells you to do something, don't smart back. Don't have some kind of excuse. Just say, okay, Mommy and Daddy. Because Mommy and Daddy knows what's best for you. You see? And they're trying to raise you in the way that you should go. Always remember another little secret. What you allow a child to get by with, you are teaching it to do it. Yeah. That's just a kind of little nugget to keep in mind. What you allow a child to do, you're teaching it. So, again, we always come to the house of the Lord for strength, don't we? Amen. And food for our heart. Amen. And Brother Timothy's done a wonderful job of that tonight. I appreciate that. I couldn't help but to think, you know, Brother Timothy, you know, here he is helping me, and he's a great help to me. He really is. And I think back when we were separated, and Brother Timothy took it upon himself, and he could have gotten in big trouble at that time, what was going on. But he took it upon himself to buy me a gift card to eat out of a restaurant, and made sure I got this gift card to go out and eat. And we went out to eat. Me and my wife went to go eat out there and enjoyed it, had a good time. But I couldn't help but sit there and think, if they knew about this, Tim would be in trouble. You know? So I was praying for him. And God would bless him, be with him, and encourage him, strengthen him, you know? And I still got that gift card. Well, a little bit's left on. I think it's got $2-3 left on, but I still got it. And then when he come to me one night and come up on my front porch later, I told him God was really dealing with him in his heart, in the car. And the Lord had come to him and was blessing him. And he was telling me about this. And it wasn't long we got back together. But see, God knows all these things. But nothing happens by chance. No. God's seen in his mind before the world was ever formed. When I think of God and his greatness, that knows everything, and he knows whether we're obeying his word and everything. He knows that, you know. I'm so thankful he does, because he knows if I'm short, He can come by and say, hey, son, stop this. I don't want you doing this. If he didn't know anything about it, it'd be kind of bad, you know. I wouldn't know how to make it in. But God, rich in mercy, he comes knocking on my door when I'm wrong. Amen. Oh, don't you love him? He's so sweet, so precious. But we're a blessed people. Yes, we are. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we feel in our hearts, Lord, your presence, the sweetness of your Holy Spirit, there's nothing in the world worth that, Lord, worth more than that. That is so sweet and so precious, Lord, to feel your presence and, Lord, to know that you're there with us. Father, I was thinking about Thanksgiving coming up. If there was ever a people, Lord, that's thankful, it ought to be us. To see and know you, Father, the one that gives us and blesses with all things. You bless us so much, Lord, with, yes, material things and clothing and things like that, Father, and automobiles to drive. But, Father, I'm thinking about greater blessings. Lord, the things, the spiritual, eternal life, desire, hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're thankful for these things, Lord. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our loved ones. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, it's so good to know when you have a brother or sister in Christ. And there's just nothing like it's out in the world. Yes, we have friends, Lord, and there's people we love and people we do things for. But there's just something special about a brother or sister in Christ. It's so special. Lord, we have such confidence in each other, such a love for each other, such a trust in each other. And just something about it, Lord, you know you're going to spend eternity. Oh, we're so thankful for all these things, Lord. May you just bless us now and continue to bless us in a way, Lord, that would lead us and guide us into all righteousness. That we would be able to keep your word and obey it, Lord. The desire be burning in our hearts to obey it. Do everything you tell us to do. So we thank you, Father, for this night that you give us. And thank you for the precious food for our soul. Just go with us now and keep us safe, we ask, and bring us back the next appointed time if we should tarry, and help us to be able to be here with the desire burning and strength and health for our bodies, and calling upon you, Lord, to feed our hungry soul. We ask these things now to your glory and to your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. May God richly bless you.